Okay, all right, here we go. I got to repeat all that? Anyway, we're going to have a fellowship meal afterwards, so I want to encourage you to stay around afterwards, and let's eat together and celebrate Kayla's graduation for her. Just a program note, so that you're aware of this a week ahead of time, keep in mind that next Sunday is, thank you, Father's Day. Don't forget your fathers, okay? And so we will not be having an evening service next Sunday, okay? We want you, like we did a couple of weeks ago, we want to encourage you to spend time with your fathers, okay? Spend time with your family. So keep that in mind. Next Sunday evening, we will not be having an evening service, all right? I need to tell you that because if I don't tell you now, I'll forget all about it later on, okay? So we began a study last week in looking at do you know my Jesus? That question, and you know, it's kind of the follow-up to what we've been studying all year, is the whole idea of experiencing God in relationship, getting to know God through our experiences with Him, rather than just getting to know about God. And so now we're really focusing on getting to know Jesus and that question, do you know my Jesus? And what we're doing is looking at Jesus in the different ways that the Bible talks about who Jesus is. And this morning, we're going to talk about Emmanuel. Okay? The story or the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. So I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 1, a text that was read for us as we began this morning. And as we look at beginning this study on Emmanuel, trying to figure out, well, what is this really all about? Okay? And getting to know Jesus as Emmanuel, what significance is that for us today? That's one of the things that we want to talk about. Now, as we look at this story here of the prophecy being fulfilled of the coming of the Messiah. The people of Israel had been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds of years. You see, their concept of the Messiah was one who was going to come and he was going to be a physical king who was going to sit on David's physical throne and he's going to establish a physical kingdom there in Israel. He's going to drive out the Romans and they would be free from Roman oppression and be a nation like they were back in the days of David and Solomon. That's what the kind of Messiah that they were looking for. When we read of this announcement that Joseph receives, you know, here's the situation. Joseph and Mary are betrothed to be married. That's for in our culture today, that's like being engaged, okay? But it's actually for them was even more serious because in all ways, for the most part, they were considered to be almost married, okay, but they did not have sexual relations when they were betrothed. They waited until after the wedding ceremony. That's why when the Bible tells us here that Joseph considered putting her away or divorcing her, it uses that because for all practical purposes, they were considered to be almost married. And you didn't just kind of break off an engagement like people do today, you see. And so Mary finds herself with child, it tells us here, but yet they have not had sexual relations, and so Joseph's natural thought is, she's been unfaithful to me, but he's a nice guy, he doesn't want to embarrass her and the shame and so forth, so he decides to put her away quietly or divorce her quietly, but the angel appears to him and tells him what this is really all about. And so we pick up the narrative here in verse 20. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Because why? He will save His people from their sins. And then look at verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay? Now, you know, you look at this statement and this fulfilling of this prophecy. And one of the questions that come to my mind, you look at this and you go, okay, why did God make this prophecy to begin with? What was the point of God some 700 years beforehand through the prophet Isaiah saying that this was going to take place? What was the point of that? Did God just one day decide, I think what I'm going to do is have Isaiah tell the people about something's going to happen 700 years from now, and that will keep them in suspense? No. No. That's not really why he did it. In order to really understand why this prophecy really came about to begin with, we have to go all the way back to when that prophecy was originally given and look at what was taking place at the time. See? And then we'll better understand what Emmanuel really is all about, not just for them, but for you and I today. So let's go all the way back to Isaiah chapter 7, because that's where we find this prophecy originally being given. Now, in order to really understand and appreciate this whole concept of Emmanuel and why, again, this prophecy was given here that was going to be fulfilled some 700 years later, we need to understand, first of all, what was taking place when Isaiah prophesied these things, you say? What was the atmosphere that existed at the time? Well, here's what it was. Ahaz was the king of the kingdom of Judah, okay? And the king of Israel had made a pact with the king of Syria to go to war against the kingdom of Judah. Okay? And Ahaz and the people of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, they became very worried about what was going to happen here. They're concerned, obviously, that these two kings and their armies are going to come and attack them. They're frightened. They're trembling. In fact, it tells us here that they were trembling like trees blowing in the wind. They were so scared of what was going to happen. Now, Ahaz's answer to this problem that he and his people were facing was to make a pact with the king of Assyria to defend him and the people of Judah. And it's with that the Lord sends Isaiah to King Ahaz to talk with him about the situation that they are in. So do you understand what's taking place here so far? Okay? Ahaz is in big trouble. Okay? He and the people of Judah are scared. And he's wanting to rely on this other king, this Gentile king, who at that time Assyria was becoming a mighty power. Okay? And he wanted to rely on Assyria to help him out of his trouble. Now, we pick up the text in verse 10 here of chapter 7. Look at what it says here. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest deeps or the highest heights." In other words, God is saying to Ahaz, you ask for a sign concerning anything. Doesn't matter what it is. You ask for a sign and the Lord will give it to you. A sign for what? A sign of deliverance. See? But Ahaz responded, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. So, in other words, the Lord through Isaiah is saying to him, okay, I gave you a chance to ask for any sign you wanted to show you what I'm capable of doing. And Ahab says, I'm not going to ask the Lord for a sign. Basically, what he's saying here is, I've already got a plan. And Isaiah says, okay, you won't ask the Lord for a sign? The Lord's going to give you a sign anyway, and here it is. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. Well, who's he talking about here? The king of Israel and the king of Syria. He said the land that of those two kings who are plotting against you, that land is going to be laid waste. Before this child is able to eat curds and honey. Okay? Before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Do you understand what's just taken place? You see, Ahaz's answer to his problem of Syria and Israel is, Assyria, I'll get them to help me. And the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, says, first of all, let me tell you what's going to happen. The land of those two kings who you're worried about is going to be laid waste. I'm going to take care of them. And then what's going to happen is that one that you're calling upon to help you, he's not your friend. And you're going to suffer at his hand. Now, here's the question. You know, Isaiah gives this prophecy, and typically what we do is we read over here in Matthew the fulfillment of this prophecy. Right? And we go, okay, well, that's what Isaiah was talking about. I don't quite understand why, but I understand that's what he was talking about. Well, there's actually a dual application of this prophecy. This prophecy not only referred to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, but it also referred to Isaiah himself in Ahaz's time. Look down in chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. The Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen. Maher Shalal Hashbaz. And I will call in Uriah the priest and Zechariah son of Jebuchadnezzar as reliable witnesses for me. Verse 3. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said to me, name him Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Before the boy knows how to say, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria. This was going to happen in his time. See? In his time. The name that the Lord tells him to name this child means Ahaz's enemies would be plundered. That's what that name means. And so God, through Isaiah, not only telling about this, but actually being this prophecy being fulfilled in the first part through Isaiah himself. It is his wife, his child that comes, you see. And God gives this child the name that says, Ahaz's enemies will be plundered, as an indication to say, you know what? God can take care of your enemies if you would just rely upon Him. That's why the name Emmanuel is used, because it means what? Some of you don't sound too sure about that. It means what? God with us. And so, you see, the purpose of that was to let Ahaz know, look, don't rely on Assyria, rely on me. You don't have to go to these foreigners for help and aid. I'm your God. I'll take care of you. And God showed him how he would do that. The name Emmanuel, God with us, was intended to show that Ahaz was the one who would and could deliver, that Emmanuel could deliver Ahaz from his enemies. God would take care of that problem. If Ahaz and the people of Judah would just rely upon him. And so we see this prophecy, first of all, being fulfilled right there in Isaiah's day. And 700 and some years later, it would be fulfilled again in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah that the Israelites were waiting for. And that's why he would be called Emmanuel, that is, God with us. See? Now, if you understand what I'm saying here, okay, does that make sense? You see? That God's that name, the use of that name is significant to us understanding how God wants to take care of us. You see? It wasn't just a name that says, oh yeah, Jesus is coming here and God is coming here in the form of man, and so in that way God is with us. It's more than that. It's not just he's coming here, but he is here to take care of us. He's here to help us. He's here to protect us. And what we need to understand is that God is still with us. But not only is God with us today, but he is in us today. You see, we have the privilege of not only having God with us, but to have him living in us. Every single one who belongs to him has him living and dwelling in you. So it's not just God with us, it's God with us and in us. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Paul here, in talking about this contrast between living, you know, according to the sinful nature versus living according to the Spirit, look at what he says here, beginning in verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. See? That's Emmanuel, you see? God not just with us, but in us. If we have faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul there says, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. You see? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. You see, what God wants us to know and to understand and to grasp a hold of is the concept of Emmanuel, who is still here with us, and not just to be here with us and in us, but just like with Ahaz, to help us to defeat our enemies. That's why he's still here. What we need to understand is the significance of Emmanuel to you and I today is that Do we not, just like Ahaz, do we not have enemies that we have to contend with? You don't have any enemies? You're lucky. See, we have not only the people that Satan is using to cause problems and wreak havoc in our lives, we've got Satan himself as our enemy that daily we go into spiritual warfare with. Now, the question is this. How are you trying to stand up and fight against Satan? Are you calling upon other people or other things, whether it's the world or whatever it is, to try to help you to defeat your enemies? Or are you calling upon Emmanuel? You see? That's the significance of Emmanuel to us today. God is saying, in the same way I took care of Ahaz and the people of Judah, I can take care of you today. That's why he's still here. You see? Because God knows that as long as we live in this world, we are going to be facing enemies. But we have to choose how we're going to face those enemies. Are we going to do it with God? Or are we going to try to do it on our own with something or someone else trying to help us? Too many people in the world are trying to face their enemies through drugs, through alcohol, through trying to work their way through trying to have more money, through you know, illicit relationships, through anything that the world has to offer. They're trying to overcome their enemies. And God is saying there's only one thing you need, and that's Emmanuel. Okay? You just need me in you. You see, what I want you to understand, I want you to know my Jesus as Emmanuel in your life today. I don't want you to just know about Emmanuel as this prophecy that Isaiah gave 700 years before Jesus came, and then, wow, it happened and it was proof to everyone and it's all over. No, Emmanuel is not finished. That's the great news. He has not finished his work. He's still here, active and living in our lives today, and he still wants to do the same thing he wanted to do for Isaiah. And that is to help us to defeat our enemies. That's the Emmanuel that I know. Do you know my Jesus as Emmanuel? That's what I want you to think about. We're going to stand together and sing a song. Colonel, if you'll come up. And I want you to be thinking about what I've shared with you about Emmanuel. Is that how you know Jesus? As one who will help you and is willing and able to help you to defeat your enemies? Or do you just know him as that name that was prophesied about by Isaiah about Jesus? If that's all you know him about, will you get to know him as Emmanuel in your life? And you can do that right now, today. If you're not a Christian, you can become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sins that are separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. And you can have Emmanuel in you to help you to defeat your enemy. If there's something else that we can help you with, all you got to do is come up and let me know. That's what we're here for. See? I'll be up here to receive you. Ted will be in the back. If you'd like to go back and talk with him privately or have a prayer with him privately, he'll be back there to receive you. But we can't help you if we don't know what's going on. Do you know my Jesus as Emmanuel? Let's stand together and sing.